877-ASK-DELL.
Six 40 on 550 and 1071 KTSA. Our Ask a Doctor segment tonight. We're joined on the KTSA Kinetico Quality Water Softeners Newsmaker line by Dr. Fred Campbell for UT Health San Antonio. And Dr. Campbell, thanks for coming back with us and spending a few minutes. Good evening to you.
It's good to be here, Jack.
A lot of conversation today, differing opinions from politicians and even from parents about what we're going to do with the new school year this coming August. Should schools open up or try to continue the distance learning? And I know one component of that concern is we're hearing about this, I don't know if you'd call it a syndrome or a secondary condition that some children seem to have in their lungs after they are exposed to coronavirus. What do we know about that, and how concerned do you think we should be?
Jack, the syndrome that we're talking about, pediatric inflammatory multi-system syndrome, which is quite a bit of technical jargon, has to do with the body's unusual reaction to antigens like the COVID-19 virus, which can occur weeks after an acute infection. In fact, infections can occur, be asymptomatic in children, and then this will develop at a later time, usually down the road a week or two. It is extremely unusual. A similar condition, Kawasaki disease, has existed for many decades and has been recognized and is manageable, but it is a very frightening thing for a child.
Would we be in a better position if we were aware of that possibility? I mean, we now know it's a possibility. We would be aware that it was a possibility. What, if anything, could be done preemptively or preventatively about it?
This syndrome is directly related to previous infection with COVID-19. The idea of picking it up early is a great one, and managing it as we have with similar conditions like Kawasaki in the past, that is the best thing to do. However, of course, avoiding infection with COVID-19 is the primary way of making sure the complications like this do not occur. And this is just the first of serious type of syndrome. Who knows what other things might be associated with COVID-19 that we're not aware of at the present time, particularly in young, healthy children.
Do we have any idea, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, I mean, do we have any idea what the rate of occurrence of this pediatric inflammatory syndrome is? I mean, if you have 100 kids, and let's say that they've all had some exposure, how many of them are likely to have this syndrome?
It appears to be very unlikely that children will develop this, probably more in the 1% or less category, and it seems to have become much more prevalent in the United States as opposed to other countries that preceded us in their severe pandemics. So again, it is not a particularly doesn't appear to be a particularly common complication of COVID-19 in children, but the condition is quite serious.
So we have to be aware of it, but it's not something that every child who potentially would return to school in the fall would necessarily be at risk of.
Everyone would be at risk, but the percentages are quite low.
Okay. You know, something else, as we start opening up different parts of society and we think about the school year, I'm hearing a lot more people speculating, and I wanted to ask you to speculate better than we can about it. People are saying, what will the effect of having stayed home, stayed in for several weeks be on our immune systems when we emerge into a more typical day of going in and out of businesses or being in closer proximity to people, touching more common surfaces? Has this been a long enough shutdown that it actually changed our body's antibodies?
Well, I certainly hope not. And I think in similar situations where there have been pandemics over the last 100 years and people have done the same kinds of things, it did not appear to affect the general population in a negative way. Now, of course, if you're deconditioned and or if you gain a tremendous amount of weight, those are things that could make people more susceptible to any infection. But in general, I think the typical immune system is going to be pretty resilient in a situation like this.
So you don't think we've sabotaged ourselves with all of our Clorox wipes and hand washing at home, that maybe we've made ourselves somehow less resilient or resistant when we go out into the world?
I don't know of anything in my personal experience or reading about situations like this where that would necessarily be a concern.
Yeah, and we were also talking tonight a little bit about the all the hopes that are being pinned on a vaccine, and a recent survey showed that 2/3 of Americans don't believe we can return to normal life, whatever we define that as, until there is a vaccine. Are you concerned as a medical professional that people are presuming there will be a vaccine?
Of course, nothing is absolutely likely, but the chance of having a good vaccine for COVID-19 that is similar to the vaccines that we've had against other similar syndromes like SARS or MERS, those are things that we can feel pretty optimistic about. I think that COVID-19 is certainly a much more virulent and infectious type of virus than some of the previous ones over the last couple of decades, but medical science has done a really good job, I think, of determining how to develop a vaccine and what parts of viruses like COVID-19 we would want to be attacking to develop that kind of a vaccine.
And we know that there is some controversy among competing COVID-19 tests. We're hearing stories today about people alleging that the Abbott test is not as accurate as it should be or could be. Is it possible that the vaccine finish line could see a tie finish where more than one vaccine crosses the line and we have more than one vaccine available? Is that a desirable thing, or is it likely that one vaccine will become the sort of the universal vaccine?
That's a good question. Production of any vaccine, of course, is going to take a tremendous effort, and we're going to want to make vaccination universal with an effective vaccine. However, more than one type of vaccine that might be able to fight various aspects of the COVID-19 virus would not be a bad thing to have occur. And so we, although not often, use two different types of vaccines at the same time against the same virus. There are theoretical advantages, perhaps, to that kind of a situation occurring.
So it is possible that more than one would be approved and manufactured, and that maybe even people would be able to choose?
Yes, I think we're talking about pretty highly speculative kinds of things, but there are certainly research going on right now about completely different kinds of vaccines with different targets, so that could certainly happen.
Well, we appreciate your speculation, and we understand that it's that, and always appreciate the time. Dr. Fred Campbell, thank you so much tonight. We look forward to speaking with you again.
It's always great to be with you, Jack. be safe.
Same here. Dr. Campbell with us on our KTSA Kinetico Quality Water Softener Newsmaker line, 6:48 now on KTSA, right ahead of our last check of KTSA Time Saver Traffic. I've been telling you that Jeff's Backyard Store refills propane bottles, and yes, they do, Tuesdays through Saturdays, 9 to 4, up to the 100-pound size. But that's not all they do. I mean, while you're there getting the propane, you might kick the tires on a new Weber gas grill, a Big Green Egg, a Texas Trailblazer smoker. You may have wanted one for a long time, and now's your chance to check one out. And did you know that at Jeff's Backyard, most of the products they sell have a price that is as low as the manufacturer will allow, meaning you could go to some other place and look at that grill, but you wouldn't get it at a lower price. They're going to have the lowest price the manufacturer allows on those products. But the advantage of being at Jeff's Backyard is way more knowledgeable people to answer your questions and get you started with that grill, recommending tips and recipes, the kind of inside info and help, one-on-one help you just can't get at those big box stores, and certainly not at a website. So refill the propane and maybe consider your next grill at Jeff's Backyard, where their whole approach is just enjoying and living that backyard lifestyle. They're at 435 West Nakoma, where Nakoma meets West